Hi, this is Ben Holloway with Impartation Ministries. I want to take this opportunity to thank you personally for sowing a love gift offering in exchange for a copy of the message you're about to listen to. We trust this message entitled, "There's Chunks in the Field, Gertrude," will bless you and minister to you. I feel this is a timely message from the heart of God for the body of Christ. If you would be interested in having our ministry in your church, church conference, or missions conference, please contact us at Impartation Ministries, 1885 Hicklin Road, Madisonville, Kentucky, 42431. Our office phone number is area code 270-825-1140. So sit back, relax, and prepare yourself to be transformed by His presence so that you can go out and touch another life with His resurrection life. Thank you, and God bless you. Stand to your feet for a minute, would you please? Thank you. How many of you know we're going someplace in the Holy Ghost? I'm telling you, we're just going someplace. And the messages that have been preached in this building the last 6 weeks have absolutely been incredible. What I'm going to preach to you tonight, the Lord has been dealing with me since the last week of November. And the messages that have been preached have almost been what I'm going to preach to you. And we haven't talked among ourselves. It's just incredible. But I want you to stand to your feet and just turn to your neighbor and say, "You ought to give me $100 right now just to make me happy." Glory to God. Okay, you can sit down. If none of you are going to bite on that, you can just sit down. Have you ever noticed how when the Holy Ghost falls, how everybody just kind of gets dysfunctional? Tonight, we're going to be in Hosea chapter 10. Now, I'm going to go through Scripture real quick tonight, so you may not have time to turn to it, but if you just write these Scripture references and then go meditate on these Scripture references, I think it'll make a lot of sense to you. You know, we ought to never get tired of hearing the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. I've been preaching now since I was 17, so that's some 26 years now. And I've never had the Lord give me such a message that's burned inside me like this message has. And by the same token, I don't think I have ever had as much spiritual resistance regarding a message from the enemy. Because I'm telling you, tonight, church, can be our night of breakthrough. Come on now. I'm telling you, tonight can be your breakthrough, and the enemy knows it. And I've been fighting with the enemy over this thing since the last week of November. I was in Texas when the Lord began to share this with me, and I knew that He wanted me to preach it, and I've had a lot of resistance regarding this. But I believe that this year, the Holy Ghost is going to give the body of Christ a supernatural reaping anointing. And this is going to be just the start. This year is just the start of this supernatural reaping that's going to happen. I really believe that this year is going to be an incredible year for supernatural reaping. And I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and say, "It's time for you to reap." Come on now, you can do better than that. It's time for you to reap. And I believe, church, that part of the transition that the church is going through right now is due to the fact that God is getting us ready for this supernatural reaping. See, many of us have been waiting for many years and have been believing God for a long time for a lot of things. And I believe that there's a special anointing that's going to come upon the church this year for the express purpose of seeing the realization of the things that God has promised you to come to pass overnight. Come on now. I'm talking about overnight supernatural reaping celebrations. How many of you would like to get plagued with the disease of reaping this year? Hallelujah. I'm talking about plague. I'm talking about where reaping just attacks you all the time. Aren't you ready for that? I'm talking about abundance. You know what abundance means? Abundance means having more than you possibly know what to do with. I'm tired of a get-by mentality. And I believe that this year, God is going to begin to pour out an anointing on people that will open themselves up and say, God, I'm ready to receive this supernatural anointing for reaping. You see, many Christians don't have the anointing to reap. They just can't seem to be able to get the crop out of the field and into the barn. How many of you want to get the crop out of the field and into your barn? Somebody ought to shout unto God. Now listen, if you're here tonight and you've got a religious or pharisaical spirit, then you're probably sitting back right now with your arms folded across your chest and you're saying, oh great, another prosperity message. I'm not just talking about finances tonight. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about reaping health, finances, peace, souls, and every conceivable blessing God has in store for you tonight. And tonight could be the night. I said tonight could be your night. Tonight could be you the night that you get your financial breakthrough. Tonight could be the night your marriage gets healed permanently. Tonight could be your night. Your prodigal children and grandchildren come home permanently. Glory to God. Tonight could be the night you get your healing permanently. Tonight could be the night the church gets its breakthrough permanently. Tonight could be the night your mama gets saved. Tonight could be the night your daddy gets saved. Tonight could be the night you get your personal breakthrough that you've been wanting for so long. I'm a little fired up. You see, tonight you could reap everything that you've been believing God for. But the sad story is this. See, many of us will walk away from this service not receiving this anointing to reap. When the anointing to reap is flowing around these altars tonight, and I come down here and slap the living daylights out of you, you see, we can walk out of here going this year like we did last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. But I'm telling you something tonight, church. God has burned something in my heart and my spirit. I'm not just sucking air up here tonight. I'm telling you by the prophetic spirit of God that this year is the year for reaping. And you got the right. You have the right and the freedom to walk out of here and not receive this anointing to reap. We could come service after service after service and be blessed and say, what a wonderful service. Or we could come now after tonight and come service after service after service, be blessed and say, what a great service that was, and reap everything out there in the field. It could all change in 1 millisecond tonight. But it's up to you. There's anointing to reap. There are many anointings, but there is a specific anointing to reap. There are churches and individuals all over the world right now that are receiving revivals overnight. I've been in some of those churches and I've met some of those individuals, and I'm telling you, why can't we just get an anointing to reap? I mean, just be plagued with this supernatural reaping. Let me ask you something, husbands. How many of you all would like to come home after a hard day's work and just have your wife attack you with love and passion? Come on now. Hey, how many of you wives would like to come home tomorrow and have your husband hand you a check for $2,000 with no strings attached? Hallelujah. How many of you know that's an anointing to reap? Glory to God. Nah. Let me ask you a question. How many of you committed sin last year by the showing of your hands? Praise God, all seven of you. Well, glory to God. Well, for the rest of you, let me give you some consolance right now. You've committed your first sin of this year about lying about last year. Praise God. So I just want to get something out of the way right now, okay? Will you all let me go for it tonight? I'm going to go for it. I am going for it. We're just going to get something out of the way right now. Why can't we just ask God for a crop failure? Why can't we just exercise the mercy of God here for a minute, and let's just ask God to burn up all the stuff that we have sown over the past 20, 30, 40 years? Why can't we do that? If he's big enough to save us, why can't we just ask God to burn up all this stuff that we have sown so we don't have to reap this stuff that we've been sowing? Can we do that? All right, I want you to stand quickly. We're just going to ask God to burn this stuff up so we don't have to reap all this bad stuff. I want you to lift your hands right now. Let's just pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to the mercy seat right now, Lord. We come to the throne of grace. And God, we say in our hearts and our spirits right now, come Holy Spirit. We're asking for a crop failure, Lord, of all the junk and all the bad stuff, all the negative confessions that we've made and spoken over each other. God, we're asking that for negative seed that we have sown, burn it up! Burn it up, Lord! We're asking for a total crop failure of that junk right now in the name of Jesus, so that we can sow fresh seed of the kingdom of God, so that we can sow something positive into this generation, Lord. We don't want this junk that we have sown to come back and we have to reap it right now. So God, we're asking you just to burn that junk up right now in Jesus' name. And God, we release our hearts and our spirits to you, and we say thank you, God, for a crop failure. Thank you, God, for a crop failure in Jesus' mighty name. Now give him a shout unto God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes. Glory to God. Okay, you can sit down. Man, you all are wild and crazy tonight. You see, one of the things that's happening to churches and individuals around the world is that they're coming to their due season. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for my due season. And you see, that's the result of the reaping anointing. By human nature, you can only wait so long before you cease to believe that anything is going to happen. Now, that's just human nature. Some of you have been waiting patiently for a long time for some particular things from God. And now it's time for those things to come to pass. Glory to God. In other words, it's your due season. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, your due season begins tonight. Look at them and say, it's time for breakthrough and blessing to come to your house. You see, it's God's will for this church and every other church in this region to be completely out of debt, double, triple, quadruple in membership, and build new buildings with cash. That's God's will. Does anybody believe that, or is it just me? That's God's will. Yeah, but Brother Ben, we're in a recession. Heaven's not in a recession. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to me, church. Some of you are so close to the reaping celebration of your life. You're standing on the edge of the field with your toes buried in the dirt of your harvest field, and you're saying, man, I wish I knew how to reap what's in that field. Tonight's the night. Tonight's the night. Hallelujah. Or we can just make this another service with our arms folded across her chest and just walk out of here with the crop that's designed just for you rotting in the field. Tonight, as many of you will receive it, will receive the anointing to reap. There are many churches that do not have this anointing to reap, but we don't have to be in that crowd. There are many individuals that do not know how to reap, but you don't have to be in that crowd. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Powerful scripture. Hosea 10, 12 says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon you. Glory to God. Everyone wants to reap. No one wants their crop to die and rot away in the field. Now, I looked up this word reap, and this is interesting. The word reap means to have unreasonable harvests in dead fields. Unreasonable harvests in dead fields. Now, what that means is that God will even allow you to reap in fields that you have not sown. Hallelujah! Not only do you get what's in the field that you've sown, God says to reap means to have unreasonable harvests in fields that you haven't even sown in. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need some unreasonable harvest in dead fields. Listen, it's truly an incredible, miraculous thing when this anointing to reap comes on people. For instance, how would you husbands like your wife to wake up one day and just say, I don't know why, but I'm just crazy about you. That's an anointing to reap. That's an anointing to reap in a big way. I mean, if you've been plagued with a bad marriage, isn't it about time you reap a good one? Hello? Before a farmer can plant anything into a field, he has to perform an essential function. He has to clear the field. Now, Being brought up in the city, I don't know much about farming. And one of the first dates Sister Holloway and I had was on an International 1560 tractor. And my father-in-law, at that time my future father-in-law, told me that if I was going to marry his daughter, I was going to have to learn to perform this essential function. And it's called picking up the chunks, baby. Now, for those of you that don't know what chunks are, as we so lovingly call them, chunks are pieces of wood, pieces of logs, where the field was originally logged and cleared. Or they can be pieces of wood or chunks of wood that rainwater has washed from the creeks into the field. Now, for those of you that don't know much about farming, you might not think it's such a big deal. But you see, chunks, if you don't pick them up, when you're going through the field and you're disking the field with a big tractor and a disc, the chunk can get caught between the discs. See, the discs have to turn. If the disc don't turn, then you're in trouble. So what happens is this chunk gets caught between those two discs. Now, I've seen a chunk no bigger than a softball bring a 100,000-pound tractor and a 32-row disc to a complete halt. And you turn around, and now you got a 7-foot-high mound of dirt. And now you're talking about your blood pressure going up and your frustration level going up, climbing down off of that tractor, trying to find a softball size of chunk of wood in a 7-foot-high mound of dirt. It's a negative experience. Especially in the light of the fact that those chunks should have been picked up and thrown in the back of the truck before that field was ever disked. Every farmer knows that every field has chunks, stumps, bushes, and trash that have to be cleared before he can plant anything in that field and then eventually reap what's in the field. Now, how many of you would like to be completely debt-free and plagued with the anointing of reaping this year? Yes. Glory to God. Then turn to your neighbor and say, honey, you got to clear the field. I've called this message, "There are chunks in the field, Gertrude." You got to clear the field. So before you could sow anything into this field, we're going to have to remove the rocks, the stumps, the chunks, and the trash in the field. Listen, you can struggle with your finances. You can struggle with your marriage, your relationships, your jobs, your kids, your grandkids, the anointing, the call of God on your life, your ministry, your church, but you don't have to. You can start by being attacked by supernatural reaping if you'll just clear the field. So, we have thousands of pastors struggling in their churches, husbands and wives struggling in their marriages. We got all sorts of warped, dysfunctional Christians trying to maintain their salvation, all because they won't clear the field. Hosea 10:12 says, "Break up your fallow ground." Now this is interesting. I never knew what the word fallow meant until I looked it up. Break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground means land left uncultivated. That's what fallow means. Now, there's an interesting word there in that definition. The word left can also mean abandoned. The definition does not say land that was forgotten to be cultivated. It says land that was left uncultivated. In other words, fallow ground means land that was previously attended to and a conscious decision was made to leave it and not plow it up. So, translated in the spiritual sense, fallow ground means hard-heartedness. Now, we were shouting just a minute ago, but that's what it means. So, if we're going to reap tonight, we're going to have to look into our hearts and plow up all the areas we have allowed to become hard. Now, if you don't hear another thing that I say tonight, you hear this. Wherever you are hard-hearted, you are automatically disqualified from the harvest that God has already prepared for you. That's where your harvest field is. Wherever your heart is hard, wherever my heart is hard, that's where the harvest is. So, you're the one who has to decide what kind of harvest you're going to reap. But we come to church and we want the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us. Oh, help me, Jesus. We want Jesus to be in the house. We want Jesus to bless us. Oh, bless me, Jesus. Bless me, Jesus. Oh, God, I need somebody to bless me. Would you bless me? Oh, my God. But we won't clear the field. So the only time you ever feel the anointing is when you're in a church service. Is this too hard tonight? I'm going for it. That's the only time that we feel the anointing is in a church service because we won't clear the field. Come on now. After the church service is over, we go out to the parking lot and we don't get in the car. We get home. We don't feel the anointing anymore. Then when you get home, the barn is empty. Hello. You got to get out the plow and plow the fallow ground of your hard-heartedness. Because listen now, everywhere your heart is hard is a potential harvest field just waiting for you to have unreasonable harvest even in dead fields. Virtually every church wants to have thousands of members, but they won't knock on doors. Can I say something in love tonight? The Jehovah's Witnesses will knock on doors, and they're deceived. The Mormons will knock on doors, and they're deceived. Muslims fly jet airplanes into 110-story buildings, killing themselves and hundreds of others. And they believe what they believe. Are you all still in the building? Listen, I'm not trying to put anyone on a guilt trip tonight about witnessing. However, don't you think it's a bit odd that Christians who have the eternal answers to eternal questions won't even in as much throw a lifeline to someone who's dying in their sin? Don't you think that's a bit odd? But we want our mamas to get saved and our papas to get saved and all the children of the world to get saved, and we won't even throw out this lifeline to someone who's drowning in their own sin just waiting for you to give them some kind of hope. Yes, but Brother Ben, I believe in lifestyle evangelism.
Well, that's all fine and good. Jesus gave us the example of lifestyle evangelism. Paul gave us the example for lifestyle evangelism. Lifestyle evangelism is all fine and good, but we can't rely on that wholly at the complete exclusion of telling. Come on, you all. Work with me now. Also, can I clear up something right now? Listen, witnessing is not inviting other Christians from other churches to your church. All that is weight transferring. That's transferring the sheep from one barn to another. In fact, most of what we have called church growth in America is just a shifting of the sheep. That's not witnessing. I want to tell you all something tonight. I'm in the kingdom of God tonight because a man named Terry Davis was vulnerable enough to tell me that he loved me and that Jesus loved me and that I could spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. That's right. And as he shared the gospel with me, I was so drunk and high on chemicals at a North Hopkins football game that I spit right in his face. Literally. But Terry continued to tell me that Jesus loved me. You know what, folks? Terry Davis didn't lead me to Jesus that night. It was about 2 weeks later I gave my life to Jesus. But the fact that I didn't repent that very moment and ask Christ into my life didn't deter Terry. He just reached in his hip pocket, got a handkerchief out, and wiped my spit off of his face. See, Terry wasn't afraid to tell me with his mouth that Jesus loved me. You see, Terry pulled out the plow that Friday night at a football stadium. He was really ready to remove the chunks and the stumps and the bushes of his own heart long enough to sow into my life. And now every soul that I have led to Jesus Christ in nations all over the world, he gets to reap it also. Are you hearing me tonight? Terry, I want to say thank you. Publicly, I want to say thank you for sowing into my life. You see, church, actually, the definition of hard-heartedness is, I don't care. That's what hard-heartedness is. I don't care. And wherever you don't care, that's the field that you have allowed to become fallow and unplowed, and that's where your harvest is waiting. That's where your harvest is. We're sitting here tonight saying, I want to have a great marriage. I want my wife to love and respect me. After all, I work hard. Some of you wives saying, I want my husband to come home and look into my eyes like he used to when he was romancing me and stroke my hair for hours leading to absolutely nothing. And I want him to look into the deep recesses of my heart and draw out my inner self and prophesy over me and have all the answers to all my multiple personalities. And I want him to love me and romance me like he used to, but you won't forgive him for the last 47.6 things that he's done wrong. Hallelujah. After all, he's never ever kept his promise to change. That screen door is still there after 20 years on one hinge going. So, the mature thing to do is to attack him upside the head with a verbal frying pan night after night after night. I mean, it's worked over the last 25 years. Hallelujah. I mean, it's worked so well for 25 years. Why not just keep doing it? So, your husband comes home, sits down in his easy chair. He picks up the little black television remote from hell, and he clicks his way into La La Land while mom gets her little television remote from hell, and she goes to her room, and she clicks her way into La La Land watching her programs while the kids, they pick up their little black television remotes from hell, and they click their way into La La Land and watch Sabrina, the teenage witch, cast spells on all of her friends, and this family's destiny has been detoured, and the devil sits back and laughs his head off. Hello! Is there anyone left in the building? In the morning, Madisonville Messenger reads, while preaching in pulpit, local congregation kills evangelist. I'm just trying to be a blessing tonight. Church, don't anybody dare leave this building and say, Brother Ben said, throw at your television. All I'm saying is that anything that sets itself up between you and your relationship as family and with God has got to be evaluated. Hello. Come on, church. Do we want a move of God or not? Do we want breakthrough or not? We've got to deal with some issues. The problem of it is we want to come to church and feel good. We want all the time to hear how good and pleasant it is when men dwell together in unity. And I love that scripture. But there's times that we got to deal with some issues. We got to deal with stuff in our lives. Then you got to pick up the chunks, baby. You got to pick up the rocks and the stumps and the bushes and every other thing that's hard in that field, because everywhere your heart is hard is a potential harvest field. So you say to the Lord, Lord, I want to get out of debt this year. And we hear teaching after teaching after teaching from Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, but we still won't tithe. We hear testimony after testimony how somebody went from rags to riches by the simple biblical obedience of tithing, but we won't do it. You want me to tell you why some of us won't tithe? It's real simple. We don't believe that God will bless us if we do tithe. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. Ecclesiastes 11, 4 says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Now you see, in the days that Ecclesiastes 11, 4 was written, they sowed by hand because they didn't have machines. So common sense told them that if they threw the seed up into the air and it was windy, the wind would just blow it away. Jesus said not to listen to every wind of doctrine. Let me ask you a question tonight. What voices are you listening to that challenge the validity of God's word? You see, if you can answer that question, you're going to discover why you can't write the check that God tells you to, no matter how small it is. Folks, you don't have to go with me to Kenya to see poverty. We got poverty right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. There are poor people all around us, and we walk right past them every day and don't even want to make eye contact with some of them because they make us feel uncomfortable. Do y'all still love me tonight? We won't call our own blood brother on the phone and say, I was wrong. We won't lay hands on our daddy because he abused us as a child. We won't pray for our mama because she hurt our feelings one time. But we want to go to the nations and we want to lead hundreds, yea, even thousands to Jesus Christ, and we won't even call our next door neighbor just to see how they are. Come on, y'all. There's chunks in the field. There's chunks in the field. Some of you won't talk to your husbands for days. Some of you husbands haven't talked to your wives for years. Some of you husbands quit talking to your wife right after the honeymoon. Glory to God. But we want Jesus in the house, and we want to have our favorite coworker on the table for dinner. Come on now. Go ahead. Let's just continue to assassinate the character of every pastor you've ever met. That's always brought blessing to the house. Go ahead, keep on arguing with your wife. You've been doing it for years. Why don't we just reap or heap a few more years on there? We got to plow it up. Proverbs 20, verse 4 says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, when the harvest comes, he has nothing and has to beg. No pastor alive should have to beg for helpers. No godly husband should make his wife beg for love. I'm tired of just getting by. I'm ready to reap. Listen, it's time to see your daddy saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and serving God. Hallelujah. It's time to see all your debts canceled and to have more than you possibly know what to do with. It's time for your kids and your grandkids to step in to the destiny God has for them. It's time for you to reap the breakthrough of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet. Let's plow the ground right now. Glory to God. Just plow the ground. Come on, cry out to God. Come on, let's plow the ground up. Hallelujah. God, we lift our hands to you and we plow the ground right now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. But Brother Ben, I don't feel like plowing. Well, plow anyway. Glory to God. Shambri kasondo. Plow it up. Plow it up. Shambri keto sombranda la 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 mondo roba la 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 maye. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, you can be seated. Quickly, as I wind this up, here's the sad truth. Many of us will walk out of here and miss this anointing to reap this year. But I'm going to do everything in my power not to miss it. I'm not going to miss it, you all. God spoke to me at the end of this year and said, this is the year for supernatural reaping. I'm not going to miss it. I refuse. But first, you got to clean the field of all the rocks and the trash and the bushes and all the areas of the field where you said, I don't care. But you don't understand, Brother Ben. I just have a problem with people of a different color. Get over it. Get over it. Racial prejudice is the last monster to fall. But I'm telling you, folks, it's going to fall. It's going to fall. If the only people that we have over to our house for dinner looks like us, we got a problem. So, we got to find the black folks, and we got to find the Hispanic folks, and we got to find the Asian folks, and we got to say, will you come over to my house and have dinner with me? So the world can see that our Savior is color blind. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10 says this, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Verse 9, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So, you decide this year is going to be your year for supernatural breakthrough. This is the year you're debt-free. This is the year your kids and grandkids are on fire for God more than they've ever been before. This is the year you decide you're going to have a personal revival with Jesus and go to a new level in Him that you never knew existed before, even if it means turning off Monday Night Football, Days of Our Lives, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and even the University of Kentucky Wildcats versus Indiana. Glory to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Would you please perform CPR on me, because I cannot believe he said what he just said." You see, the reason some of us are turning six shades of purple right now is that Hollywood has become the drug of choice for most Christians. And if God were to ask some of us to turn the idiot box off for a while so we could have a personal revival in the Holy Ghost, it would be like a cocaine addict having the cocaine drug right out of him. Now, folks, hang on to your hats. I'm going to ask you a question in love tonight. How can we expect God to bless us when we bring R-rated movies into our homes that we've sanctified and set apart to be a place of His presence? But you see, the reality is this. Wherever the field of our heart is stony, we can always justify our actions. All righty then. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." I looked up the word sparingly. Now, this is incredible. You all get this. The word sparingly means to premeditate restraint. To premeditate restraint. So, when you get up on Sunday morning and you accidentally leave your checkbook at home, actually what we're doing is premeditating restraint. Do you still love me? So, no matter how good the preaching is, no matter how many bodies get healed, no matter how many of your family members got saved in that service, because we have sowed premeditated restraint, when it comes time for your financial breakthrough and your financial needs to be met, God has no other choice than to honor His word and premeditate restraint on you.
Is this too hard preaching?
So you decide who you're going to love and who you're not going to love.
If Harry's at church this Sunday morning, I'm just not going to speak to that jerk.
You have sowed premeditated restraint. You've decided who you're going to love and who you're not going to love.
We say we love God, but wait till the next time somebody cuts us off on the parkway. I mean, by the time we get home, we ain't got no fingers left on any hand. Come on now. But we say we love God. And we say, boy, I'll tell you, the next time I see that jerk, I'm going to blankety blank his blankety blank. Glory be to God. Come on now.
We'll knock the blankety blank right out of him the next time I see him. Holy God, thank you, Jesus.
You see, when you pick up the chunks and plow the field, what you're really doing is repenting and softening your own heart.
Listen, is there anyone here in the building that would be honest enough to say, just by lifting of your hand, I need something from God tonight?
I need something from God tonight.
You say you want your family saved. Whose family are you saving? You say you want your marriage blessed. Whose marriage are you blessing? You say you want your debts canceled. Whose debts are you canceling? You say you want God to build your church. Whose church are you building? You say you want God to save your children and your grandchildren. Whose grandchildren and children are you saving? You sow, you reap. It's just that simple. So, what voices have you been listening to that make you premeditate restraint toward your husband, your wife, your children, your next door neighbor, your church? He that soweth sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully. Did you know that the word bountifully can also be translated liberally? Listen to this. Liberally. Beautiful word. You know what liberally means? Y'all look here. Liberally means to walk open-handed with no ownership. To walk open-handed with no ownership. In other words, we are to walk this life open-handed, no ownership. Our kids aren't ours. Our cars aren't ours. Our money's not ours. Our life is not ours. To walk open-handed, no ownership. Isn't that beautiful? That means whatever God blesses us with, we need to be ready, willing, and able to be unencumbered. We need to be able to say, brother, God's blessed me with this. I'm just giving it to you. Open hand. That's incredible. To walk open-handed with no ownership. That's what bountifully means, or it's also translated liberally. But you know, the sad truth is this, I don't see the masses of Christians walking that way. You see a few here and there, but the masses of believers are not walking that way. The choice is yours tonight, church. How are you going to sow? I want you to turn to your neighbor right now. Take both of their hands in your hands right now. Turn to your neighbor, take both of their hands in your hands. grab their wallet and run for your life. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I want you to look at your neighbor and say this. Look him square in the eye and say, I'm going to start sowing liberally. Open-handed, with no ownership, tonight. No longer will I premeditate restraint on my sowing into the lives of others, especially into the lives of other Christians. Now, doesn't that feel good? One more time, look at him and say, I'm going to start sowing liberally, open-handed, with no ownership, tonight. Hallelujah. Whew. That feels good, man. Finally, one of my favorite scriptures, Joel chapter 3, verse 13, says this. Thrust in your sickle, for it is time for you to reap. Ha-ha! Thrust in your sickle! It's time for you to reap! Tonight could be the night that supernatural reaping just attacks you. Hallelujah! Turn to your neighbor and say, tonight you get the crop out of the field and into your barn because it's time for you to reap. Come on now. Tonight you get the crop out of the field and into your barn because it's time for you to reap. Hallelujah. Now, somebody shout unto God like you mean it. Let's give Jesus a standing ovation. Yes! Yes!